Okay. We'll have a wonderful time in the Word and communion to follow. God bless you all. It's a wonderful fellowship together in the faith today. And perhaps we could stand together for the reading, which will be on the screen. So let's stand and for the reading of God's Word in Luke chapter 22. And follow with me in your hearts. Luke 22, verse 14. When the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said to them, "With fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Let's pray together. Father, we do pray for this time now in your word, with your spirit in us to quicken us and to teach us, to bless our hearts and give us understanding and a quickening in our faith. And we ask, we commit this time to you for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, you may be seated. We pray that you would bless our time together in the Word. We pray you'd give us a focused heart together as we consider you afresh. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The Bible is filled with prophecies and types and figures and shadows of Christ. It captures our hearts. It's amazing, and we become more and more persuaded that surely this is the Word of God, for man could not have written it. And perhaps no other type is more beautiful than this one. It is the Passover. Feast of the Passover, the sacrifice of the Passover, and the Passover meal. It all speaks of Christ. Perhaps you remember there are seven feasts of the Lord on Israel's calendar, and they are prophetic in nature. This amazes us that the spring feasts have been fulfilled already by Christ, and the fall feasts are prophetic and await fulfillment. And we on the end times calendar, we are between the spring and the fall feasts. The first three particularly were fulfilled with the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ. You say, wait a minute, the feasts that were instituted on the calendar, recorded in the books of Moses 1,500 years before Christ, speak of him? That is amazing if that's true, and it's true. And our focus shortly this morning is just on the Passover. This is the most important feast on the calendar. It's a one-day annual celebration that remembers a one-time event in Israel's history, namely that they were delivered from slavery in Egypt. It begins with a ritual meal, a festive meal, just before the Passover feast. The family will gather, family of all ages, from the youngest to the oldest. It would involve remembering the story of the deliverance from Egypt. It would remember the Passover lamb, and different elements of the meal would all speak of that in remembrance. It was a memorial dinner for a memorial feast. To understand it, we need to go back. If we want to understand what the feast is and what the sacrifice remembers, we need to go back to see. We think of Abraham in the beginning, that God promised Abraham that I will give you this land, I will bless your seed, and through you all of the nations of the earth will be blessed. And of course that was through the coming of the Messiah, or the Savior of the world. And at the end of the book of Genesis, we find Abraham and his family in Egypt under Jacob as the head of the family. And 430 years they were in Egypt, and they grew to become a great people. But they were slaves. They were under unbelievable bondage. Imagine hundreds of years, your great, 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 great grandfathers, all they had ever known is that they were slaves in Egypt. And we read in Exodus chapter 2, the children of Israel groaned because of the bondage, and they cried out, and their cry came up to God because of the bondage. And God heard their groaning and remembered his covenant with Abraham. And he rose up Moses, and Moses went to Pharaoh to appeal, but Pharaoh hardened his heart. And because of that, God brought 10 plagues on Egypt. It was an unbelievable time of judgment on Egypt, for God wanted to break the will of Pharaoh so that his people could be set free. The last plague was the death of the firstborn. It tells us in 12:30 of Exodus that there was crying and wailing in every Egyptian household because death touched every family as the firstborn was judged. But God made a provision for the Israelites. He told them that if you would take a lamb and sacrifice the lamb and apply the blood to the doorposts, then the judgment would pass over your house. We read of that in Exodus chapter 12. In verse 3 it says, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father. This was the Passover lamb. It's incredible that in the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians 5:7, Paul the apostle clearly says, Christ is our Passover sacrifice for us. This is incredible language. This is an unbelievable revelation. Paul was saying, in no clearer terms, he was saying that Christ was the Passover lamb. He fulfilled the feast. Every lamb that was slain for all of the years before were just waiting and looking to him, to the cross, when he would be sacrificed for us. For the Jew, this was very graphic. They understood what the lamb represented. It was a substitute taking their place. This is why John the Baptist, when he saw the Lord in John 1:29, he said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And then in verse 5 of Exodus 12, it says, your lamb will be without blemish, a male of the first year. That the lamb would be in the prime of life, a male in the prime of life, as was Christ. And without blemish, fulfilled in Christ that he was without sin. We read of that in Hebrews 4:15, that he was without sin. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, he knew no sin. In 1 Peter 2:22, he did not sin. And perhaps the clearest for us would be in 1 Peter 1:18 and 19, where Peter says, we have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb without spot. Amen? We have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb that was without spot. Not by corruptible things like silver and gold, but by the blood of the Lamb. What is Peter saying? He is saying, just as Paul said, is that Christ is our Passover. Interestingly enough, that today, is it March 30th today? It is the day of the Jewish Passover. It doesn't always fall on the same day because we have different calendars. But this year, today is the Jewish Passover. And it is also Good Friday for us that we celebrate as Christians. But this was the day that Christ was crucified on the Jewish feast of the Passover. And the lamb was to be slain on the 14th day of Nisan, that is today. And of course, Christ was crucified on the actual day. Think of it, you take that calendar, and there is a feast that speaks of him. And not only did he fulfill the feast, not only was he the Passover lamb, but he actually died on the day of the feast. Incredible. It boggles the mind to think how that could happen. But more than that, it tells us in verse 6, it says, you will keep it till the 14th day. You will hold on to the lamb till the 14th day of the same month. And then the whole assembly of the congregation shall kill the lamb at twilight, or perhaps a better translation, literal translation, is between the evenings. Josephus said the time that they would sacrifice the Passover lamb was at 3 p.m. And our Lord, when he was nailed to the cross, at 9 a.m., and he died at 3 p.m. So perhaps he didn't only die on the day that the Passover was sacrificed, but even at the same hour. Incredible. And there were witnesses that were called to testify. Because remember, between the 10th and the 14th day, you would have the lamb with the family around the household. And part of the reason for that was so that they could inspect the lamb to make sure that it really was without spot, without blemish, so to speak, the perfect lamb. And there were witnesses when Christ rode into Jerusalem and the triumphal entry and that week following all the way up to the cross. There were witnesses who unknowingly testified to the fact that this is a spotless lamb. Pilate three times said, I find no fault in this man. And unknowingly, he was fulfilling the prophecy. He was falling in with the type. He was testifying that this is a spotless lamb that will be sacrificed. And Pilate's wife also said, have nothing to do with this just man. And the thief on the cross said, oh, we deserve what is happening to us, but this man has done nothing wrong. And even Judas, after the betrayal, said, I have betrayed innocent blood. For this was the lamb without spot. He was the one who did not deserve to die. He was the one who knew no sin. And yet, motivated by love, he laid down his life for us. So in verse 7 of Exodus 12, it says they would take some of the blood and they would put it on the doorposts and on the lintel of the house where they would eat of the lamb. But death, the death of the lamb was not enough. The blood of the lamb was not enough. But they had to apply it. It had to be appropriated by faith. I am not saved because Jesus died for me and shed his blood for me only, but I must also believe that. The blood was applied. In verse 13, it says, this is a sign for you on your houses. And listen to these words. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. That's where we get the word Passover. I will pass over when I see the blood. Why were we spared from judgment? Why were the Jews spared from judgment? Because they were Jews? No. Because they were good? Because they kept the law? No, there were very good people in those houses and very bad people. But they were all spared if the blood was applied. For it is by grace that we are saved. And then in verse 8 it says that the family would feast on the lamb. Do you know what it means to feast on the lamb? For this is an essential part of Christian living. That we are not only saved by the lamb, but we feast on the lamb. We fellowship with him. We receive life from him. We have daily spiritual nourishment from him. But in verse 48, it tells us that only those who are circumcised shall eat of the lamb. And that in picture speaks of the true believer. Only a true believer, a born-again believer, one who has been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, can feast on the Lamb. Otherwise, it is a mystery. It is just religious symbolism. That means nothing unless I am truly saved and filled with the Spirit of God. And one more treasure to pluck out of this chapter is in verse 46. Where it says, not a bone of the Passover lamb would be broken. This was clearly referenced by John in chapter 19. It says, then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who was crucified with him. They would break the legs so that they could no longer push up to get a breath. But when they came to Jesus, verse 33, and saw he was already dead, they did not break his legs, but one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled, not one of his bones shall be broken. And also another prophecy that his side would be pierced in Zechariah 12:10. But what is John saying here? He is saying the same as John the Baptist, and the same as the Apostle Paul, and it is the same as the Apostle Peter. He is saying this: Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. He was the sacrifice. He was the final sacrifice, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. So in verse 14, it tells us that this feast was a memorial. God instituted it. Why? So that the Jews would remember. This feast began their religious calendar. It was the first, became the first day of the month, Nisan. Oh, how simply and wonderfully the New Testament opens this to us. Do we see it? That he was the Lamb. And just as the Israelites were physically delivered from Israel by the blood of the Lamb, we have been spiritually saved forever because of the sacrifice of Christ and his blood shed for us. How beautiful, how simple, how powerful it is when we consider the Passover Lamb. For we do not deserve it, but a Lamb has been slain for us. And again, this is why Paul says, Christ our Passover sacrificed for us. Now this is the background for what we call communion or the Lord's Supper. To celebrate the Passover, they would have the Passover meal. And Christ tells his disciples to make ready in Luke 22 verse 10. He says, when you've entered the city, a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house which he enters, and then you will say to the master of the house, the teacher says to you, where is the guest room where I may eat Passover with my disciples? And then he will show you a large furnished upper room. There make ready. So they went and found it, just as he had said to them, and they prepared the Passover. It reminds us, remember last week we spoke of the colt that was tied. And Jesus told them to go, there'll be a colt waiting for you, a donkey. And now he says there will be a room, and go make ready and prepare the Passover. And when he sat with them, he said in verse 15, with fervent desire I have desired to eat the Passover with you before I suffer. Notice those words. He knew that he had to suffer. He would tell the disciples on the road to Emmaus, oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for Christ to what? Suffer that he may enter into glory. He knew that he would suffer. He knew that he would be betrayed by a kiss in the garden. He knew that he would be arrested and sent to Pilate. He knew that he would be mocked and beaten and spat upon. He knew that he would be scourged, and ultimately he would be delivered to the cross and crucified for all. He knew that he would be the one who would fulfill Isaiah 53 of the lamb that would go silent as a lamb to the slaughter, that God would lay on him the iniquity of us all. And he would be crucified in our stead as our substitute, as the Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world. So he said, prepare that I may eat the Passover before I suffer. Jesus with his disciples celebrates the Passover. We see it written in every gospel. But the gospels only show us moments of that Passover meal, not all of it. And during that meal, Jesus takes two of the elements, namely the bread and the wine. And the bread, he breaks the bread and he blesses it and he says, oh, this bread represents my body. My body which is to be broken for you, which is to be given for you. Not broken in the sense, perhaps it's the wrong word, but it is given for you. and the cup which represents his blood to be shed. These are the two elements of Christ's work, that he had to both die for the penalty of sin and he also had to shed blood for the forgiveness of sin. We see that on the cross. So Christ institutes what we call the Lord's Supper in verse 19. He took the bread and he gave thanks and he broke it and he gave it to them saying, "This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, he took the cup after the supper saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant which in my blood which is shed for you." I want you to notice the words "given for you," "shed for you." We may assume that the Romans took Christ's life or the Jews took his life, but he said, "Oh, no man takes my life. I lay it down of my own will." That he so loved the world, the Father so loved the world, he gave his Son, and his Son so honored the Father and also loved the world that he gave his own life. Willingly, the ultimate bondservant, motivated by love to go to the cross for you and I. For you, this is my body which is given for you. This is my blood that is shed for you. And then he says, "Take it. This is our part. Take it, receive it, believe it. Be a vessel of grace." Remember that the Jewish Passover feast was a feast of remembrance. Take note for this moment. Actually, today, there are Jewish homes all around the world where they are preparing for the Passover meal. They are preparing for the Passover. And they are going to do it in remembrance. There will be a time around the table where the children ask questions. Why do we do this? What does it mean? And they will answer from Exodus 12 and they will tell the story. It's a feast and of remembrance. It's a meal of remembrance. It says that it is a memorial. And what are they remembering? They are remembering that they were delivered from slavery through the blood of the Lamb and by the mighty hand of God. And that was the purpose of the meal. And during the meal, Jesus did something incredible. Jesus did something shocking. As they were there to remember deliverance from Egypt by the Lamb, Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Incredible words. Just as the Passover looked back to an event, the communion, the Lord's Supper that he instituted, also looks back to an event. It looks back to the cross, where he bled and died for us. So we prepare our hearts together now to go to the Lord's table. And we do it with understanding, and we do it with faith, and we do it with reverence. For we understand that Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. We observe it as a church and as individuals. And the most important thing in our own hearts, we take this time as we prepare our hearts to confess any unknown sin. We let the Holy Spirit speak to us and we have a quiet moment of preparation. So let's do that now. Let's bow our hearts in prayer. And those who are going to help serve in the communion, if you could come at this time up to the stage right now. Coming up, thank you.